This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I know fans sometimes feel powerless. They can do whatever they want. They can complain. They can say, I can't believe you traded my favorite player. Like, why do we still have this coach? He stinks. And you think, the boss has never listened. The billionaires never listen. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes, if you make enough noise, you get enough of the little guys like you and me together to cause a ruckus, the billionaire bosses have to listen. No, I'm not talking about the Panthers making a trade or anything like that. I'm talking about Klondike looking at bringing back the Choco Taco after consumer uproar. That's right. They announced they were getting rid of it. It was about a week ago, I think I was at the beach when it happened. I'm sure you guys addressed the Choco Taco. Please tell me the Choco Taco came up, Dennis.
It was mentioned, yes.
Okay, good. So, it might not be the demise of the Choco Taco. It might be back after all. Even though it should be pronounced Choco Taco, if we're doing specific Spanish pronunciation, but I guess Choco Taco sounds a lot better. So, fans, little guy, you made noise, and the big guy listened, or at least they're claiming to now, so that you'll shut up about it, and then you'll forget about your Choco Taco. We've got football tonight in the NFL. Here to tell us why we should care about Jaguars Raiders, because that is her job. It's our good friend and reporter for the NFL, Bridget Condon. Bridget, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? Great to hear your voice again.
All right, you've been to all these training camps. You've been checking it out. I see you. I can get being excited about football. I know that you are a football person. I know that you want football to be back. But no one's listening. No one will hear this at the NFL. Are you telling me you're truly excited about the Hall of Fame game tonight?
I'm so excited. I feel like we've just been wanting news to happen the past, 4 or 5 months, and anything remotely interesting we're talking about. And now we're actually going to have real football to talk about. We're going to have plays. We're going to have touchdowns. It's going to be great.
All right. Hall of Fame game. Football in August, though, it's not even a little too early for you. Like, is it? I will say this. Like, watching 11 people in pads lining up against 11 people in pads is kind of cool. I admit it. As much as I talked about, I don't care about this game, I was like, okay, maybe I'll turn it on and line up against each other. Is it just that? Is it just the feel of the football season more than any play that'll actually happen tonight?
Yeah, I think so. That's my favorite time of year, even before I was working in football. Just, it's the beginning of another year. Expectations are high. Your team can go to the Super Bowl. Everybody feels that right now. We're almost at fall, the leaves changing, the weather, just all of that is it's perfect. I can't wait.
All right, it's fall somewhere, but I don't need to remind you what it's like in North Carolina. It ain't fall yet here. We're not quite feeling it. All right, you did come through North Carolina. You made a little training camp tour. You stopped in Charlotte. I saw you in Atlanta. I'm going to talk to some college football ACC Network folks tomorrow, and I'm asking them the same question. You are right. It is the time where optimism is high. Everybody could be good. Everybody could win the Super Bowl. What are you looking at? Like, when you're sitting at camp watching a practice, and we're all kind of rolling our eyes because we're seeing the tweets, and it's like, so-and-so just threw a touchdown, and it looked great. We're kind of like, great, of course it did. Yes, I'm sure it did. What are you looking for when you're at a training camp? Are you looking for, like, culture? Or are you looking for, like, specific things? Is this guy that was injured, does he look fast? Like, how can you even discern what fast is when it's just practice? What are you looking for when you watch a training camp practice?
I think the first thing that you're looking for is who's taking reps with the ones, right? Because you hear that this guy's good. Okay, well, who actually is, in the coach's eyes, the best on the team? That's the first thing I'm looking for. And then both teams that I was at, Carolina and Atlanta, have new quarterbacks. So I'm looking at how Marcus Mariota, how Baker Mayfield, how they're interacting with guys, not just during the plays, but after. I had, last week, Christian McCaffrey wasn't working out. He had a scheduled off day, but I was watching him and Baker in between plays, and they were kind of laughing. So things like that, that you can't see, the average fan isn't. And so just those little tidbits that, okay, yeah, I actually remember these two players were talking off to the side or were helping each other understand a playbook. And that kind of carries over into the season. Or maybe, hey, this guy and this guy were, really going at each other in practice, or they were fighting. Is there more to that? Because of course, the biggest thing is building the chemistry, especially for these new quarterbacks with their receivers and their teammates. But how are things going to look when we aren't, you know, having these high expectations, when they start the season 0-3 and things are starting to go downhill?
All right. So that being the case, and you may have, I admit, I was at the beach last week, so I've been catching up on my NFL. This may have been something that was announced that I missed. Watching those in-between play interactions, watching who's get the reps, where do you weigh in on the question that seems to be the number one question for the Carolina Panthers going into their season of who is going to be the starter? Could you glean anything from reps and body language?
So it was last week they were splitting the reps 50-50, and they pretty much still are, but I'm not there this week. Everything I've been reading is that gap. You could tell last week Sam Darnold had a bit of an advantage because he worked with Ben McAdoo during OTAs and minicamp, so he had a leg up on the playbook, whereas Baker Mayfield literally got it 2 weeks before he stepped on the field with the Panthers. So there was a gap there, but this week that gap is closing, and you can tell Baker's finding that chemistry with his receivers, and he's moving quicker and understanding how this offense is working. So I think if he continues to trend in that direction, no question about it, he'll be the starter.
And then I have another question generally about how the NFL works and your observations. Yeah, is it how do teams make it feel like offense and defense are all one team? It is an interesting situation, and it's almost unique in sports. I mean, in basketball, in hockey, you know, you might have guys that are on the playing surface because they're supposed to score. Like, everybody knows this is an offensive guy, but ultimately, like, that Andrei Svechnikov has to come back and play a little bit defense when it's time, right? Like, you know, the Steph Curry, the best shooter in the world, that has to figure out how to guard somebody. In football, you have guys that do not play in the offense. And in fact, right now in training camp, there's almost like competition between those two sides. Does it feel like two teams that are practicing and under the banner of the same goal? Or how do teams really get a feel when it's across a divide of like two teammates that never play together?
Yeah, I think right now you're seeing a little bit more of a divide because that's who you're practicing with every single day. You know, we've seen some of these teams have had little tiny fights. I don't even know if I want to call it a fight, but you know, they're just going up against each other and each other every time. So you're seeing that a little bit. But when you go into the season and Aaron Donald's on the field and you're Matthew Stafford and you see him make an incredible play, that's where you build that, oh, that's my teammate. Oh, he went out there and did that. Yeah, he's doing it to me during practice, but I respect the heck out of him because he's helping us win games. So I think right now it's all that testosterone and energy going up against each other. It might be a little more heightened, but as the season progresses, these are the guys that you're eating meals with every day. These are the guys that you're in the locker room with. Yeah, you're going up against them, but you're seeing them all the time, and you're building that, he's my teammate, not just some guy I'm going up against in practice.
Bridget Condon joining us from the NFL Network. What are you going to be doing this season? This is your first time starting the season with the NFL Network, right? I know in the offseason we find you in the mornings on like Wake Up Football. We see you manning the desk at NFL.com. We see you at these training camps. Are you going to be – where can we find you? You know me. I like to talk behind the curtain. Inside. Like, what's your job going
to
be during the season?
Some news right now, hey?
Oh, good. Yes. I want to see this.
So right now it's just kind of week by week. We got to get through training camp before we can talk about any of that. But I can tell you where I'm going to be from here until next week. I'm in the studio this weekend. Then I'm heading out to Green Bay next week. I'm super pumped about that. Aaron Rodgers in person. That's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
And then I'll be at the Falcons-Lions game next Friday. So a little bit of everywhere, which I'm kind of cool with. It's fun getting to go to all these different camps that you never thought you would ever be at and figure out how they do things. What's also cool is how small the NFL is and just football in general. I was at Falcons practice this week and I saw Dwayne Ledford and Sean Flaherty, two guys that were on NC State's football coaching staff just a couple of years ago when I was here. And so it's always cool to have those familiar faces in random places.
Very cool. And I'm just trying to clarify this. Obviously you don't have to tell me anything that you don't want to or aren't supposed to tell me, but do you truly not know what you'll be doing 2 weeks from now, or is that just what you're allowed to publicly reveal?
I have an idea, but, you know, things change. That's the thing about working for the NFL. Some crazy story could happen tomorrow. Then all our focus is there, right?
Gotcha.
If, you know, something, yeah, you know, like it's just kind of fluid right now.
So, and so you are a reporter, like you could get sent to the scene of, you know, like a coach's house, if that becomes the biggest story, like, hey, go follow this coach.
Cause everybody's, you think a coach is going to let us in his house?
Hey. Not in his house, but I'm saying if Bill Belichick retired and he wasn't at Patriots camp and he was sitting at his, you know, mountain house in Montana, like, would they send you to go like try and talk to him?
Yeah. So potentially, so my role is I'm a reporter and an on-air host.
Okay.
So jack of all trades, literally anything.
All right.
Well,
very
cool.
We like keeping tabs on you. We'll see you at the training camp. make sure you clarify, don't drink out of Aaron Rodgers' water bottle or maybe his like tea pour without clarifying exactly what he has in there. We hear about interesting substances. And I need to introduce you to my good friend Kaylee Hartung, who I understand is going to be doing NFL games this year for Amazon. So I'm sure you guys will bump shoulders. She is awesome, and you guys will enjoy getting to know each other. So have fun at training camp. Enjoy Wisconsin in August. I'm sure it is more enjoyable than North Carolina in August, as you remember. Actually, I need to give me one thing, since I know that you love on social media to talk about how great your life in California is. You have to make us feel good here. Tell me one thing you miss about North Carolina.
I went to Orange Theory in Spartanburg during time off, and they had this sign that was like, "Welcome Bridget to Orange Theory Spartanburg." And I was like, gosh, I miss that Southern hospitality.
There we go.
Everyone was so nice.
There we go.
You know,
we'll take it.
you don't get that out here now.
Even if all yoga is hot yoga in North Carolina, whether it's supposed to be or not, but we do have Southern hospitality. So there, she could say that's what she missed about it.
Hey, I miss you guys. Don't get it twisted.
Nah, appreciate it.
Social media is fake. We know that.
appreciate the time as always. Congratulations on the life news. I know your family's growing, and I'm sure we'll get some social media posts about that. And you have to plan all that stuff now around the NFL schedule, too, so isn't that fun?
It's so fun.
But, yeah, appreciate the time. We'll enjoy the game tonight. We'll enjoy seeing you sometime this season, hopefully back in Charlotte. But if not, we'll talk to you through the airwaves. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Check out her work, NFL.com and the NFL Network. Like she said, she's a jack of all trades. You might find her hosting. You might find her at a game. She does it all. She is Bridget Condon. She's a great reporter. Do we take a break now? We do take breaks now. And on the other side, it's our NFL road trip where we visit an NFL city. We don't have to talk about the team. We just got to talk about the city. Yesterday it was Glendale. Today it's Las Vegas. Tomorrow, I don't even know where we're going. We'll find that out next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Adam Gold's a golf dork. But here's the true test. Here's the true test, Dennis Cox. I don't think he's this kind of golf dork. I do not believe that Adam Gold is the kind of guy who would go to a PGA event like the one that's currently in our backyard, the Wyndham Championship, being held at Sedgefield. I'll bet he's got golf-like clothes on. Like, he's got maybe a polo and shorts that he might play golf in, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
The question is, does he have golf spikes on? Is he walking around as a fan in golf spikes? Which, if I'm being totally honest, you can kind of justify because the grass sometimes gets wet and slippery. It's nice to have spikes on. But by rule, you must make fun of anyone who's wearing spikes at a golf tournament as a fan.
Yeah.
So that would be the question. What level of golf dork is Adam Gold? Is he wear spikes in the gallery? or he's probably credentialed. He probably doesn't have to be in the gallery. He's probably between the ropes. Is he wearing spikes, though? We must know. I'll get an answer to this question, and we'll have it tomorrow. I'm betting on my guy Gold. I have faith that he is not wearing spikes out to a golf tournament. But the leader at the Wyndham, he shot a 29 on one side. I can't remember if it was the front or the back. But John Huh shot a 9-under today. He's 2 clear of Sunyoung Im, who's at -7. Then there's a crew at -5. I'm trying to look for the biggest name. JT Poston at 4-under. Brendan Todd at 2-under. Chez Reavy at 2-under. Terrell Hatton at 2-under. So, yeah, the window. Rory Sabatini at 2-under. Some other big names out there. Harold Varner still on the course. He's around somewhere around even. I don't know exactly where he is right now. But that is your update from the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro at Sedgefield. All right, do we have music or announcement sounder for this next segment?
Static Selector.
Yes.
Yes.
It is time.
Of course there is.
We've got NFL football tonight. Bridget Condon claims she is truly excited. I can maybe see somebody being like, all right, I like seeing 11 dudes in pads line up against another 11 dudes in pads in NFL jerseys that I recognize. But we've got Jacksonville, Las Vegas tonight in the Hall of Fame game. And because of that, we must continue our NFL city tour. And we're taking this thing to Las Vegas, Dennis Cox.
That's right. We started in Cleveland, went to Philly, then East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Okay.
Because we had the Giants. And then we had the Colts. We had Indy. Then we did Tampa. Jacksonville. Can't wait for the Jake Luton show tonight. Then yesterday we were in Glendale, and today we have Las Vegas. But before we get to Vegas, sir, I believe there's a story of you driving around Glendale.
So I do like how you guys are picking the city where the team actually plays.
Yes.
Not the name city that they're based in.
No, we're going where they play.
So, yeah, the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, you could do Phoenix.
No,
but I've been
Glendale.
There. Phoenix is a good 25 minutes away from where Arizona actually plays over there in Glendale. Glendale's nothing. Glendale's a desert that they put a football stadium
it's
in.
Arizona.
And
yeah.
Then they built a little arena next to it for the hockey team that apparently is not going so well.
No, they're going to be playing at Arizona State next
But season. Here's the thing that's weird about that is they built this whole little village that exists just to be pregame for like an arena or a stadium, mm-hmm. right? It looks like what you would want by PNC Arena, where we just haven't had the bars and stuff crop up. But the problem is, next to PNC Arena, you've got Carter Finley Stadium and all the parking and tailgating stuff that goes for that. And the fairgrounds, right? It's like we've got stuff there.
Yeah, it's state-owned
like,
land. Yeah.
This would be, basically, think if you picked up, it's not even like all of North Hills or all of the Village District. It's like, it's almost like a food hall with bars in it turned inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all in one building. It's like a big plaza. But basically, they just want to give you like 12 different bars and 12 different restaurants. You don't even really need shopping. But it's weird because it's like in the middle of this desert in Glendale. And then just this big area just pops up like a little mall. But it basically only exists to be there to serve the crowd.
Entertainment District.
Yes, to serve the crowd before they go in the stadium for a big game, a football game or a Final Four like that we're here for. Notice how I filibustered and tried to move past the driving story.
Yeah.
Here's the driving story.
Just get
story.
The driving story so we can go to Vegas.
No, the driving story that needs to be told is, one, I picked up Adam Gold in a Mustang convertible playing Steely Dan in the heart of Phoenix to go to whatever the media party was that night at some cool little house and looked over and say, that's the story. The other driving story is that, you know, we've got red light. You know we got red light cameras here in North Carolina?
Yeah.
I didn't realize in Phoenix.
Yeah.
They got speed radar cameras.
Oh, really?
So, like, they take pictures of you driving because I was with Adam Gold, and I was like, see this long, straight road where we could see if there are any cops and there aren't any? Want to see how fast we can get this Mustang going?
Oh, God.
And about a month later, I get, like, 3 or 4 different notices that are like, hey, by the way, we know how fast you're going. Here's the thing. Because it was through a rental car service, they couldn't quite ding me for how, like, I became an expert on this. because they don't really know who's driving, I guess, when you're in a rental car, but I guess whoever rented the car is responsible for it. So, like, they just have a one-time fee. If it was a rental car, they charge the rental car company, whatever it is, $80, and the rental car company just passes it on to you, as opposed to, like, I didn't actually have to go through the Phoenix system because it might have been a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
So there might be another driving story that also involves police, but that's the one that I really don't feel like getting into. It was later at night. Just know that I have a clean driving record in the state of Arizona is all that we need to know. The too long didn't read version of that story is I got no driving issues. Anything that may or may not have transpired was worked out by parties at that time. And hey, I'm fast talker when it comes to police. And white privilege is definitely a thing. 100%. I know what to say to level any altercation with police and lower the chances that anything bad happens to me. And more people need to learn some of those things. And again, it is absolutely a case of white privilege. Those are the driving stories in Glendale that I may or may not share the details to with you. Let's go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Let's go to Vegas, where me driving would not be a story because there's much bigger things happening all the time.
I'll be honest. I only knew about the tickets. I didn't know. Yeah, I still don't know about this other alleged incident.
There are some other ones.
That took place. All right. When you go to Las Vegas, got to hit the obvious stuff, right? So let's head down the strip to Vegas. Breakfast buffets at a casino.
Yep.
Got to have a fake name. Got to get married. Do all the obvious things while you're there.
You got to get married.
You have to
Vegas,
get married.
You just got to get married.
Elvis has asked to marry you to
if
someone.
If J-Lo and Ben Affleck are getting married there, you could be in line behind them and get married.
Yeah, exactly. Could you imagine your wedding? Like, oh, we got married, and they decided to get married, too. So, yeah, you never know what's going to happen. Also, while you're there, place a sports bet because you can.
You can. Here's the thing about Vegas. And on the one hand, it's like on the come up, right? Like, used to be it was hard to go see a sporting event in the town.
Yeah.
Because the pro leagues didn't want anything to do with it because it was like taboo because you're like, gambling. And so it was like maybe if UNLV men's basketball was playing, you could go see them. But like, there weren't a lot of sports.
Other than combat sports.
Yeah, now you, fights, obviously, yes. Now you can catch a hockey game, you know, a bunch of nights. They got a football team. Probably get a baseball or basketball team, I would guess, in
NBA
the next
Summer
25
League.
Years. Yeah, the NBA Summer League. So there's all kinds of sports stuff. And then the other thing is a lot of other places have gambling now. So you don't have to go to Vegas to hit a place that has, like, four casinos. You could go to other places. There's, in D.C. on the waterfront, there's a couple casinos. You can go and what's the area between like the Gulf Coast? I was trying to think of Gulf Coast. And then even a lot of major cities like New Orleans has a casino right in the middle of it. So you don't need Vegas.
The guy that tweeted us wanting to know bets when he's going to be in Baltimore for
Camden, right.
Camden Yards 30 year anniversary.
That's right there. So that's like Vegas has changed in that it's become a more, gambling's not as taboo. So I'm curious what the next Vegas place is going to be. Like the place, like part of the cool part about being in Vegas is it kind of felt a little seedy. It felt a little shady just to be there. And I feel like kind of that's been washed. I don't know. It used to be you had to know somebody if you went to Vegas. Before you show up, you better get a number from your friend for Vegas Gabe or the Hammer.
Yeah.
Somebody that can like find things and do things for you in Vegas that you won't want to have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to do by yourself. You know what I mean? It'll cost you, but you want to know somebody ahead of time. So breakfast, buffets, place a bet, know a guy ahead of time, pay the fee, and just, you find what you need.
Okay.
Vegas.
Find what you need out there. Now, different ways to see the city. Now, did you know you can take a helicopter flyover of the city?
Hashtag rich over here.
I'm just saying, did you know?
No, I did not, but yes.
You can do that. You can do a flyover in a helicopter over Vegas. Also, if you want to get a nice view of the city, ride the high roller observation wheel, the giant Ferris wheel out there, so you get a nice view of the city. But also, if you're looking for some different, like, off-the-beaten-path entertainment, check out the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That's right. The nonprofit attraction that came from the Las Vegas Pinball Collectors Club. So they got pinball games in there all the way dating back to the 1950s.
Shout out to my man Oren Day, photographer for Duke Athletics and other things. Huge pinball guy. I'll bet he's
Love
been
pinball.
to the pinball museum, the Pinball Hall of Fame Museum. I've been to Vegas a couple times. I like the, I didn't use a fake name, but I definitely made up a fake story flying to Vegas.
Okay.
Sitting next to someone, and I just, you know, gave myself a different, cooler backstory than my own. I've also flown to L.A. and driven to Vegas, which is kind of a cool experience.
Hangover thing.
Through the desert, yes. Driven from L.A. to Vegas. I've done that before The Hangover was a movie. So, you want a confession?
Okay. Yeah.
Never seen The Hangover.
Okay.
Do I have to see The Hangover? Like, no. I feel like I have. I know lots of scenes from it. Like, I could see somebody doing a Hangover parody, like those guys did with the Notre Dame uniform. I don't know if you saw it last week. And immediately I'm like, well, this is from The Hangover, even though I don't know what scene they're exactly making fun of. So I'm aware of The Hangover. Just, I've never really seen it.
Even though you have Pac-Pro Zach Galifianakis in the movie?
That's true. I've seen some scenes, but I've never sat down and watched The Hangover all the way through.
Okay, that's fair.
Anything else we need to visit in our NFL breeze through Vegas?
No, nothing. Oh, actually, one thing I always do is figure out what's a great place to get donuts in every city, every town.
There's got
to
be a donut. See, there's
a lot of donut shops in Vegas.
The only thing about Vegas is I feel like they don't want you to, they want you to think of time as like a never-ending continuum, right?
Exactly.
So, like, having a donut spot lets people know, like, it's morning. It's time to wake up and eat breakfast. Whereas buffets, I feel like you don't say breakfast buffet. You just call it the buffet, and maybe at 6 a.m. you got more breakfast food out there than at 8 p.m., right?
Well, this is why you got to go to Donut Time, a 24/7 bakery.
Course. There you go.
All day donuts. That's right. It's on a corner. It's like a corner store. Again, 24/7 bakery. Donut Time, spelled T-Y-M-E, all day donuts.
If you're doing Vegas right, you walk into Donut Time where the clock says 7:30, and it's like kind of light, kind of dark outside, and you don't know which 7:30 it is.
Exactly.
You're at Donut Time. It's 7:30, and the sun is halfway up, and you don't know which side it's on. That's how you know you're doing Vegas right.
Yep.
All right.
All right, so tomorrow is Seattle. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and draw for Monday.
How do I do a road trip for a city I've never been to? I'm just going to look up some things about Seattle.
This is why I'm doing this. Is why it's my segment.
They got a space needle and rain. So, sorry, I was supposed to say that for tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, I'll write down my notes.
Yeah,
space needle and rain.
Yeah,
and they used to have Russell Wilson. That was like the third biggest thing about Seattle. They don't even have him anymore.
It's Starbucks.
I have heard of Starbucks. Do they have them there?
Allegedly.
Okay. All right.
And we got to listen to Nirvana, I think, when we talk about it tomorrow. Well, let's see. The city for Monday is going to be Detroit, the Lions.
Now, we need to go look. Ford Field is in Detroit.
Is in Detroit.
Proper. You know what the most fun one of these is going to be? Or maybe least fun, depending on how you... What is the Washington...
Landover, Maryland.
Yeah. I mean, Gold is going to take you all over Landover, Maryland. You get to devote an hour to the segment that day for Gold to take you over Landover, Maryland.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Landover, Maryland.
I watched Maryland and Georgetown play in the Cap Center in Landover, Maryland. I love me some Landover, Maryland. But nobody likes Landover, Maryland more than Adam Gold.
I'm sure.
He can't wait to take you there.
So, yeah. Anyway, this is it's fun for me because I get to, you know, give people a little knowledge of these NFL cities. For example, when we do the Cowboys, we're doing Arlington, Texas.
Excellent.
We're not doing Dallas. We're doing Arlington.
All right. Well, all I can offer for Vegas.
And we will have to go back to East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yes. Is hit me up and I'll give you Vegas, Gabe, or the Hammer's number. Although I believe one of them has passed away, but I never remember which till I text them. And they either do or don't text me back.
This number is
if he hits me back, he's like, then I guess he's alive.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
All right, with the few minutes remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly, rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
Now, again, this is slightly old news, so I have to run the risk that's already come up on the show. But first up, Egg McMuffins. Are Egg McMuffins overrated, underrated, or properly rightly rated? This comes up because a passenger traveling from Bali, Indonesia to Australia had to pay $1,874, that's 2,600 in Australian dollars, for a fine because of two undeclared egg and beef sausage McMuffins and a ham croissant found in their airport. They did not declare the McMuffins going through customs.
Oh, boy.
And they had to pay a fine. Are Egg McMuffins overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Let's say rightly rated for an Egg McMuffin.
They are fantastic. I used to love an Egg McMuffin, and I haven't had one in a while, and now I want it. Egg McMuffins, underrated.
Okay.
Most McDonald's food, it might be the best thing on the McDonald's menu.
Oh, really?
Because like
that's a very bold claim.
The
with fries?
English
with
muffin.
McDonald's fries?
Yeah, that's true. But like the English muffin, pretty real. Can't fake that. The ham seems real. Not the freshest looking egg, but overall, I'll take it. And then cheese that's like, oh, whatever, it's American cheese. You know, it's processed. Maybe the best thing on the McDonald's menu is the Egg McMuffin. Completely underrated. But if you carry one in your bag, make sure you declare to customs. All right, next up, mullets. Are mullets overrated, underrated, or rightly related? And this comes up because not only are mullets a great thing to talk about, and I'm glad that this person is being honored from North Carolina, but from thepilot.com, let's find out who the author is. One of the best pieces of writing I've ever seen. Shout out to Sam Hudson, staff writer for The Pilot down in Moore County. He says, Mozart was likely the most famous seven-year-old in history. Then there's King Tut, Shirley Temple, and who could ever forget Drew Barrymore as Gertie in E.T.? Well, Moore County's Emmett Miller could soon be added to the list. Though no great composer, boy king, or child screen star, this Carthage seven-year-old has a hair-raising story. The long and wavy road for this rising second grader commenced on July 24th when Emmett's haircut was named one of the top 25 mullets in the United States. Right there near Pinehurst in Carthage. Are mullets overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? Shout out to Emmett Miller of Moore County, named a top 25 American mullet. Mullets, what do you
say? How old is the kid?
7 years old.
7 years old. Seven-year-olds with mullets underrated.
Yeah, 100%. You gotta go read the story. He describes like how this kid found out about mullets and decided that he wanted one.
That's awesome.
It's just well written.
Props to the parents. Are like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So yes, mullets. I don't know. Mullets is one of those things where I feel like when people write about them, they're like, mullets are back in, and you're like,
they never went away.
They never went away, but like, liking the mullet is like liking Roadhouse, right? Like, we're kind of doing it ironically.
Yeah,
it actually,
okay.
It's kind of the same. So, like, I don't know how to, like, yes, it's like many people who celebrate the mullet are never actually going to grow a mullet themselves.
Of course.
Right? So you can be a mullet appreciator, but also be like, yeah, but I would never wear that. Finally, over on Rightly Rated, the Loch Ness Monster. Is the Loch Ness Monster overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because scientists have said fossils in Loch Ness now indicate that perhaps Nessie was a real thing. Loch Ness Monster, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
I'm going to go with underrated, the Loch Ness Monster.
All right, first of all,
it was real.
It was not real.
It was
Loch
totally
Ness Monster
real.
It's one of those, like, I'm way more of a Bigfoot guy than a Loch Ness Monster guy. Loch Ness Monster, only one place, only one lake that your monster can exist. And here's the other thing. If these fossils actually do prove dinosaurs there, it was a dinosaur. Like,
yeah.
Nobody saw this thing, like,
yeah,
50 years. Nobody,
yeah,
50 years
did.
Ago was like, I saw whatever it was, Paleosaurus.
It was the last of its kind.
Or a Brontosaurus. Like, even if it was a dinosaur, that's not what you saw. Okay, you didn't see a dinosaur in Loch Ness in 1974.
Loch Ness Ronin.
It's not what it happened. Loch Ness, completely overrated.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.